From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will heading down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast in the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Leora and Channing Hill on the outside of Serengeti Empress, who digs in toward the rail. It's these two, Lidiapolis Third, the others with plenty of work to do. It's down to these two and Serengeti Empress, who's holding off the challenge of Leora as they come down to the line. Serengeti Empress has taken the Kentucky Oaks.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Brittany Attris.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. We're at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, getting ready for the 6th annual Penn Mile tonight here in Grantville, Pennsylvania, joined by Brittany Attris. We're filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna, Ponder for the Pick 4, Jude Fell. Jude will join us later on to go over the cross-country Pick 5, but Brittany and I are here to bring you our coverage of the 6th annual Penn Mile that comes up tonight at 6 o'clock. 8 stakes on the card here at Penn on a beautiful sun-drenched morning right in the shadow of the Blue Mountains here in Pennsylvania. Morning, Brett.
Good morning, Anthony. It is so beautiful here. I wish that everybody could see what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, it is unbelievable here this morning. Temperature's right around 60 degrees. Sun is out in all its glory. Plenty of horses out on the racetrack. Track looks to be in great shape. Turf course looks great, and there'll be 8 stakes races tonight, Brittany. What a fun card, and you haven't been here for a Penn Mile yet, but you'll see just how raucous is the wrong word, but we got a real lively crowd here tonight. It's a lot of fun. Right, we're right on the finish line, so if you're coming out for Penn Mile tonight, come by and say hello. Literally sitting 30 yards from the wire here at Penn National.
We've kind of got the best spot. Best spot.
Doesn't get better than this, right?
Yeah, no. I'm excited for everybody to get here. Right now, it's quiet training hours, but I see it picking up pretty shortly.
Yeah, they have their breakfast program. It begins at 9 o'clock. So, again, if you're in the area, come on out. Get an early glimpse of Brittany and the Beast. Here in my Beast of the Belmont t-shirt this morning as we are week away from the 151st Test of the Champion. And just a great time of year, right? We turn the calendar today to June. 1st of June. Where did the first 5 months go?
We were just at Aqueduct.
At Aqueduct, yeah?
Yeah, no, I have no idea. June 1st. It's amazing.
How about this place, huh? This place is just spectacular this morning.
I love it. The only time I ever have been here, I think I was 12. My dad was running a horse here, and it was at nighttime. So I didn't even appreciate the mountains and everything. It's absolutely stunning.
Special first post today. Brittany brings that up. It's usually night racing here at Penn. And today it's not. 2:45 first post. 12 races on the card, 8 of them stakes races, and a program that's really grown since the inaugural running back in 2014. So, they've done a great job, and we'll have a bunch of guests. It'll be all about Penn Mile day into night here on the Equine Forum this morning. Jeremiah Englehart's going to kick the show off at about 8:10, 8:15. He's going to talk 40 under. Last year's Pilgrim winner, he'll be down the night. Jeremiah has 4 horses entered for the night. Jeremiah, of course, Finger Lakes, product of Finger Lakes, so he knows what it's like to come out to the smaller venues, not just in name but in size. I mean, I feel like
it's cozy here.
Right on top of everything here. We're coming from Belmont to come to Penn Nationals, a little bit of a playing some mind games with you here at the racetrack. But Jeremiah will join us. Kieran McLaughlin, A Thread of Blue, figures to be the favorite tonight in the Penn Mile. He also has Ala Sahil. I believe I said that right.
That's the best pronunciation. I have no idea how
Believe
you say that.
Sheik Mo would be happy with that pronunciation. He has Alice Ail and a threat of blue in the Penn Oaks and the Penn Mile, respectively. Kieran will join us a little later on. Our good friend Eric Johnston. Eric Johnston, and we couldn't get this done without Eric Zimney and Eric Johnston every year. Eric will join us to talk about the entire program and how it has grown here over the since the inception back in 2014. Eric will join us later on. Dr. Jerry Pack will take our he'll have our annual visit, the association vet here at Penn National. Dr. Jerry will stop by, as will Todd Mostala. He is the executive director of the Pennsylvania HBPA. And we'll talk to Todd about what's going on. Then later on in the show, the Pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, will wrap it up. We'll go over that cross-country Pick 5. There's a cross-country Pick 5 today. It starts in the Pennine Ridge. And, you know, we're in the midst of three-year-old season, obviously, getting ready to wrap up the Triple Crown next week. And then we'll turn the page and start looking towards the Midsummer Derby, the Travers, and eventually these three-year-olds get with the older. But and while the three-year-olds on the dirt have been a little, they've been questionable, to say the least, by fans and media members alike, the three-year-olds on the turf have their day in the sun today. The Pennine Ridge at Belmont, the Penn Mile, of course, here at Penn National, and the Tail of the Cat down at Monmouth Park. So there's about 24 three-year-olds on the turf running today. And two of those races, the cross-country Pick 5, will start with the Pennine Ridge. It will end with the Penn Mile here tonight. And Jude and I, who went over them on the weekend stakes preview last night, Jude will come by and we'll get him on the horn and talk a little more Pick 5 today.
Awesome. I can get my picks in.
Yeah, you get your picks in. Everybody get your pens and papers ready.
There you go.
A little later on in the show, we'll talk about that. But today, it's really all about this place. And, you know, it's amazing the slots came in and the latter half of the first decade of the 2000s and really revitalized the place. And, you know, the money's nice to have, but if you don't have people that can take the product forward, the money means nothing. And they were able to do a really good job here at Penn National. Turf course looks absolutely pristine.
It really does.
And we got a lot of rain in the Northeast in Pennsylvania and up through the Northeast. 7 inches of rain in New York City in the month of May. Normally we get like 3.5.
Yeah, I thought it was April showers bring May flowers.
April showers bring May monsoons, apparently, this year. Yeah, it was wacky and it was wild, but it's June. It's a glorious first day of June. Brittany and I, like we said, we're here for the Penn Mile tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Go over to Fight Nation, Sirius XM 156. Of course, you can stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. We'll have four stakes, the Susquehanna, the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, and the Grade Two $500,000 sixth running of the Penn Mile. That all comes your way tonight at 6 o'clock. You stoked for your first Penn Mile night?
I'm really stoked, actually. Like, just being here right now, and the horses are like, this is just the best spot. I didn't realize how much I was missing out by not coming to Penn Mile, the Penn Mile before.
Oops. Just under 1,000 horses here at Penn National. But you can really tell the difference, right? You're out every morning galloping horses. Brittany's assistant trainer to her husband, Rob, and she gets on a lot of horses. I host Breakfast at Belmont. Breakfast at Belmont's going on right now if you're in the New York area. And you see the difference, right?
This is such a relaxed feel. It's like lots of people are on two-year-olds right now, riding around the track, teaching their two-year-olds, and everybody is so relaxed. It's very nice. Very nice. Different from Belmont.
A lot more hustle and bustle at Belmont,
yeah,
huh?
A little more hustle and bustle in New York. This is nice.
Great place to train your horses, though, out here, Penn.
Yeah.
I can tell you. Got a lot of room, right? Nobody's not on top of each other. I mean, obviously, it's just a different, it's just a different, it's just played in a different way here.
No, it's nice.
You love it here.
I really do.
You've been in awe of everything since you got here.
I'm really, really happy here. It's nice. I mean, part of it's that it's so sunshiny out, and we are right trackside. But, yeah, it's so nice. We met Eric. It's the first time I've met Eric before. He's so kind and helpful. It's so nice to meet good people and see a nice racetrack, well run.
Yeah, we'll talk to Eric later about exactly where this program's going to just He was over here before. He started his career here at Penn National 35 years ago. So Eric's been in the business a long time. We'll talk to Eric a little later on. But got a poll question for you this morning, as we always do, here on the Equine Forum. And it's very simple. HRR Nation, who's going to win tonight's grade two $500,000 Penn mile? Will it be Kieran McLaughlin's A Thread of Blue? Will it be Jeremiah Englehart's 40 under? Or will it be somebody else? Let us know on Twitter at HRRN. Again, your three options are A Thread of Blue, 40 under, or someone else. Let us know who someone else is when you vote other in the comments, and we will read them on air this morning. All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, Jeremiah Englehart, the trainer of 40 under, will join us. He's on the road. He's on his way to Penn National. We'll talk to him when we come back. You're listening to the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Woodbine is now racing 4 days a week, every Wednesday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And racing is back on the turf, as the E.P. Taylor Turf Course, home to the longest stretch in North America, is now available, along with the new 7-furlong inner turf course set to open in mid-June. Premium racing days this month include the Grade 2 Connaught Cup, June 1st, the Woodbine Oaks and Queens Plate Trial, June 8th, and the Queens Plate Festival, June 28th and 29th. Visit Woodbine.com today.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pinot. Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Spirit Animal still about 7 lengths behind, starting to put in a mild bid as they come to the top of the stretch. Some Like It Hot Brown off the turn in front, Social Paranoia 2 lengths behind. And then it's 40 under and Opry on the far outside coming into the final furlong. Some Like It Hot Brown still there. 40 under now ranges up alongside. And Manny Franco and 40 under have taken the lead in late stretch. And 40 under takes the Pilgrim. Some Like It Hot Brown was second best. Social Paranoia was third. And Opry was fourth.
the voice of the Triple Crown, Breeders' Cup, and New York Racing Association, Larry Comas, on the call of last year's Pilgrim 40 Under. It was a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And his trainer, Jeremiah Englehart, is up next here. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Brittany and the Beast, live.
I love it.
From Penn National.
A spin on Beauty and the Beast?
Exactly.
Brittany and the Beast.
Brittany and the Beast.
I like it.
Here on the Equine Forum, we're filling in for Mike and Jude, and nice enough to join us now on his ride down to Hollywood Casino at Penn National Races for Penn Mile Night. He has 40 under back for the coach, Bill Parcells, Jeremiah Englehart. Jeremiah, Anthony, and Brittany here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning.
How you doing, guys?
Doing good. How's the trip so far?
Well, just getting on the road now. We're going to make a pit stop at Monmouth first and then head down to Penn.
Wow, so is this a Finger Lakes Monmouth Penn trifecta today?
This is a Saratoga Springs Monmouth Penn trifecta.
Wow, that might be more impressive because you still got to get you still got to get west.
Yeah, right, well, sure I know
talk a little
going.
You don't. Not your first rodeo, huh?
No. I haven't spent a whole lot of time at Monmouth, but I've spent some long, cold winters at Penn National.
Well, Brittany, you had a question. How many strings do you have?
How many strings do you have? That's,
I have a string in Saratoga, Belmont, Laurel, and Finger Lakes.
Wow.
Wow.
So enough to keep you busy.
Almost as many strings as kids.
Almost, yeah. We definitely don't want to hit that. That'd be a little too much.
40 under. He came on the scene in a big way last year, Jeremiah. He impressive winner when he took his maiden, and then it was enough. You had seen enough after the maiden win, his first time on turf, to run him right into the Pilgrim. Talk about him. Talk about his season last year and how he's come into this year after the second in the Woodhaven last time.
Well, he was a horse when we started with him. I actually thought he'd run very well his first time. He was working, he was working well in the morning. Kind of disappointed in that first start on the dirt, but then we worked him on the turf. Even Manny, and I think it was Maggie too. Maggie might have said something that he might be a little turfy, and so we ran him on the turf in that maiden race in Saratoga, and he ran really well. And sometimes, as young horses, you got to take advantage of your opportunities are back in a stake, and he ran just even better in the Pilgrim, and felt really well about him the way he was training in the Breeders' Cup. But I just kind of made a mistake and changed our game plan last minute, and probably had him a little too close to the pace.
Yeah, and then as a lot of people like to do, you gave him some time off in the winter, and you brought him back this year. Second last time out, he's had one race on firm ground, three races on yielding ground now. This course looks to be in great condition. You'll be very happy when you get here today. Course is in great condition. He was a good second last time out. Have you noticed a lot of difference in him from 2 to 3 after that 5.5 month break?
He filled out a little bit. He was real leggy as a 2-year-old, where now he's got a little bit more substance to him. But he still seems like the, horse that we had last year. And, a lot of times they change from 2 to 3, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. But the way he's been training, he kind of gives me the feeling like, he's back at the same, same level as where he was when he left.
The return in the Woodhaven, he reverted to his old tactics, was all taken off the pace. Clint Maroon, who's turned into a nice little horse for Todd Pletcher, he'll be at Belmont today in the Pennine Ridge. He kind of just walked the dog on the front end. Were you happy with the return?
Yeah, he just, circumstances didn't allow him really to get out there like I wanted. But you know, he got kind of bogged down on the fence. And, you know, just we did, you know, Todd's horse, I think, is going to be a really nice horse later on. I mean, he's a really nice horse now, but I still think there's probably even better things to come from him as the season progresses. You know, and he just out-sprinted us late. We were able to separate ourselves from the, you know, the third place horse a little bit. So, you know, I was happy with that race off the bench. You know, I really wanted to win. I thought he was training like, you know, we should win, but, you know, that's horse racing. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Most of the times you lose, but, you know, I was pretty happy with that race.
Four works since. Looks like you've kind of put the pedal to the metal now. Has this Penn Mile always been the plan?
No, I was actually thinking Pennine Ridge at first, but then, you know, I kind of got looking at the race, and yeah, I had talked to, you know, Todd a little bit where he was kind of leaning with his horse, and I think he was thinking Pennine Ridge, and not that I wanted to stay away from him, but I just thought it would be, you know, let's run him the mile at Penn National. Might be a little better. But then, you know, now you look at the way the race sets up, you know, Kieran, his horse is obviously a really nice horse. And, you know, hopefully there's enough pace where we can, you know, try to catch him late.
Yeah, Manny Franco will ride one this last year with Hawkish, so he's looking to become the first two-time winner of the Penn Mile. Now, you're used to celebrating the smaller tracks, right? And not just in name, but in facility. Finger Lakes grown. Four on the card tonight, really supporting the night they've built here at Penn National.
Yeah, I like what they've done with this day. I've followed it for the last you know, few years, and having a string at Laurel kind of in the mid-Atlantic region, you know, sometimes the tracks will, you know, run, have races that kind of work with one another. And a couple of my horses there seem to fit that, you know, this schedule. So, you know, I thought timing wise, it worked out good for a few horses, and having the PA bred stake for Put the Glass Down might've been a little bit easier than trying a 1X on Belmont Day against Older. So, you know, this, all in all, I thought timing was the main part of the, you know, why I wanted to run horses there.
I'm really excited about your three horses on the undercard, especially Home Run Maker. I remember last year when Rob and I were working for Robertino Diodoro, he ran against You're Killing Me, and I've really liked that horse ever since, been watching him. He's hooked some tough horses, but I feel like this is a good spot for him.
I hope so. His last race kind of surprised me a little bit. I know he lost, I think he lost a front shoe in that race, which probably hindered him a little, but he's always a horse. He just always shows up, and I wasn't so disappointed with the General George because it was 7/8, and I thought his best distance was 6 furlongs. Hopefully he gets you know, a good pace to run at today, and we're able to sit a nice trip and close like he's done before.
Yeah, for sure. And I see that you're bringing Vargas here. I didn't realize you guys were 34% together. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we've clicked pretty well. You know, I think Georgie's is a young upcoming rider that's got a lot of talent. You know, he's really good communicator, and I just, you know, he really responds well with the horses, and he gets along well with them. And I, you know, he's going to be one of those riders that you'll see at an elite level here probably pretty soon.
Talking with trainer Jeremiah Engelhardt, he has 40 under in the Grade 2 Penn Mile tonight here at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Four horses in all on the 12 race card. What's it like training for Bill Parcells, Maya?
Most of the time I feel like one of his players. I can imagine what some of those practices were like. I know I'm in trouble if he calls me by my last name. you know, one of these days I was talking to
him. Does he do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't have his whistle with him in the mornings, but, you know, given the opportunity, he probably would. He's been really, really good. You know, we've kind of clicked, you know, ever from the start a couple years ago, and he's putting all of his chips into the table. He's all in on, he wants nice horses, and, you know, this game is where he gets his competition fill and, you know, his excitement. And last year's win with 40 in Saratoga and being with him there was really exciting. And hopefully there's more to come. I was talking to his grandson yesterday, and I said, you know, it'd be a good idea one of these days if we won a big race, or if I dumped the Gatorade on him. I think that would be a good, like, you know, thing to do. So I'm going to have to try to hide a bucket of Gatorade somewhere.
Maybe just a 20-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
Nah, I got to get the yellow security coat on like Harry Carson did and go, like, you know, sneak behind, like, maybe section C31, make a little zigzag behind Al Gold and Lou from Nove, and then, you know, surprise him with the full bucket shot.
Well, you put way too much thought into this, my friend.
Well, you don't. I mean, Anthony, you got to be a Giants fan, no? Or Jets? Probably Jets.
I'm not really a football guy, but if you put a gun to my head, I'd root for the Giants. I guess there's not much else to do on the drive from Saratoga to Monmouth to Penn National. You got to think of these things.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of stuff that goes through my mind all the time.
Do you have a cooler ready? For today?
He's not making the trip to Penn tonight. His daughter is, so I'm going to meet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if the first time I meet her, if I dump the Gatorade on her, if that would be a good idea. I might have to wait until the second time out.
Yeah, maybe.
That's probably a better idea.
Maybe,
all right, well, get
the
here
right
safe.
Maybe it'll be in Saratoga. Because he likes.
Yeah, that's probably the safest. Nobody cares what happens in Saratoga.
Yeah. I might want to stay away from him for a few days afterwards, but I think it'd be a good idea.
I bet you if you did it after the Travers, I don't think he'd mind too much.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I want to do it later than, like, the first couple races. Maybe later in the day when he's getting ready to walk out.
Well, hey, listen, maybe the Hall of Fame or the second leg of the Turf Trinity, if 40 takes you there. So there you go.
Point,
all right, Maya, get here safe.
I might
thanks.
Do it after the climbing race.
Well, thanks for some time this morning, my man. Get here safe. Trainer Jeremiah Englehart. He has 40 under in the Penn Mile tonight. Three others on the undercard. We'll see you tonight, bud.
All right, guys. Have a great day, and see you later.
All right. Jeremiah Englehart, like all of our guests, will receive some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion over at EmbraceTheRace.com. And we'll see if 40 under can add to the Finger Lakes legend. That is Jeremiah Englehart. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This lady had a wealth of character, a marvelous, vibrant personality, and she was indeed an inspiration to others. She was a lady through and through, and in the roaring 1920s, while still in her 20s, she entered the world of racing as the owner of a steeplechaser. A racing stable, Brookmead, came into existence a few years later. She was adverse to pomposity and took great delight in needling and openly deflating an obvious inflated ego. Her infectious sense of humor provided her the tool for doing so, especially evident in times of stress. Perhaps equally as synonymous with Brookmead Stable and its success were the names of Preston and Elliot Birch, who trained her horses. Preston began training for Our Lady of the Moment in 1944, and on October 21st of that year, he saddled her Dear Me for her in the Maryland Handicap at Laurel. Dear Me whipped the redoubtable Twilight Tear by 7 lengths in that affair, and that was Birch's first of a long, long list of stakes winners he saddled for Brookmead. Birch was very patient with young horses, and he and our subject probably received more thrills from a horse named Sailor than any other racing in her colors. That was in the decade of the 50s, while others racing in her colors included Sword Dancer, Bowl of Flowers, and Oligarchy. Her superb Flower Bowl won the Delaware Handicap in 1956, and on May 2, 1959, Sword Dancer won the Derby for her, while on the very same day, Big Effort won the Bed of Roses at the old Jamaica racetrack on Long Island. In 1934, Our Lady of the Day, as it were, became the very first woman in American turf history to lead the winning owners list. Her Bowl of Flowers was voted Philly Champion of 1960 and 61, and Sword Dancer was voted Horse of the Year in 1959. This marvelous lady dearly loved the thoroughbreds, and among the many greats carrying her silks to the winner's circle, she considered her best to have been Cavalcade, Sailor, Sword Dancer, and Bowl of Flowers. But she had a very soft spot for others, including Okapi, Sunglow, and High Quest. In 1934, and 16 years later in 1950, Brookmead was the leading money-winning stable in America. From 1925 until her demise in 1962, her horses won 1,144 races. As previously indicated, her trademark was her love for and the ability to jest with her trainers, the Birches. Before big races, she would often break the tension in the paddock by saying, for example, quote, "Do you think I should put on the blinkers today?" Or, quote, "Now you haven't put that saddle on right." When her jockey would appear, she could be heard to say, quote, "Now, Preston, you step back. I'm going to give the order on how to ride this horse today," with a twinkle in her eye, of course. And she would go on very solemnly to say, quote, "You just go on out and win this race today." If it was muddy, she would be quite apt to say, "Now, don't you dare get my colors dirty today." Yes, this grand lady, and that she was, in every sense of the word through and through, held to the sporting ideals with the best characterized racing to its very best, both in victory and defeat. The mistress of Brookmead Stable, and the subject of this piece, Isabel Dodge Sloan.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Attention, Kentucky breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. With just 5 days of racing, showcasing 14 stakes races and 4 graded stakes, with additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
The sixth running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features 4 match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be 3 all-stakes pick fours with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti in a goal. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 and 4 fifths. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Less than a quarter of a mile to go. A thread of blue with his ears up has now moved to the narrow lead. King Ultracar battles on second. Casa Creed, a thread on the outside. Three quarters, 1:12-1. There's an eighth of a mile left to go. Luis Saez asked a thread of blue to kick on, but Casa Creed is moving to him on the outside. Louder than Bond's third. A thread of blue and Casa Creed. A thread of blue responds and turns him away to win the Palm Beach from Casa Creed. Second, then Louder Than Bombs, and our G is back in 1:41-4.
Pete Aiello on the call of the Palm Beach. A thread of blue figures to be one of the favorites here at Hollywood Casino at Penn National tonight for the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Nice enough to join us now, the Director of Racing Operations here at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, and the man who has done a fantastic job at growing Penn Mile Night, along with his entire team here at Penn National. Eric Johnston joins us. Morning, bud.
How are you, sir? Always a pleasure to be here with y'all.
Yes. One of my favorite parts of the year.
Well, good. Yeah,
I get to come see you.
We deliver you great weather, a great view, a great seat for the races, a great seat for morning training. Where else are you going to get this?
All right, you brought up the weather. Chance of some thunderstorms later on.
Later on, yeah. We're not going to worry about those. They're going to be well after the mile run, so we're going to be in fine shape. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
We start with this every year, and I always... this turf course, man. I mean, since it looks unbelievable.
Well, we baby it, you know, with the Penn Mile this time of year. We don't take any chances with it. We've had two races across the course. When we started out with the first one on Preakness Day, the rail was all the way out, and we stayed there and moved it back in on Monday so that we'd be ready for today. The inside is pristine, hasn't been run on at all this year. It's, you know, we've had some heavy thunderstorms earlier in the week.
Yeah.
We had some great drying yesterday, and that'll continue through today. So we should be on a good course this afternoon, maybe even pushing a little bit toward firm, but we'll see when we get to post time.
Yeah, and it really is a beautiful morning here. The sun high in the sky, so it'll bake out some of that moisture. Because I was talking with Brittany earlier, we got like 7 inches of rain in New York City, and most of it comes through here first.
Yeah, it's been a rough last couple of weeks around here.
It's been a rough year. Since we went up to Saratoga Saratoga last year, and it hadn't stopped raining.
Yeah, you know, you look at last year's our schedule on the turf. We actually lost 5 weeks in a row on the turf because of just constant rain. No turf for 5 weeks. From the last week in July all the way through August. We finally got back on for about three races in September, and that was it. We had less than 50 races on the turf last year. It was just brutal.
Less than 50 for the
whole season. Usually we try and run about 120. That's what we can handle with the course. So. And you can imagine what that does to field size and handle and everything else. You know, if you card something, you take it off, and obviously they fall all apart, and then it's just a nightmare.
And, you know, that's the only thing that's out of our control, right?
Yep.
Well, I mean, there's other things, but that really, the weather, there's nothing we can do about the weather.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you got people bringing horses in for the summer that are hoping to run on the turf, and they're not getting those opportunities. Obviously, they have to think twice about where they spend their next summer and where they're at, so it certainly affects how horses come to the track. And you know typically if somebody ships in from out of town with the turf horse, they're going to bring an extra horse with them for one of the dirt races, and you know, you lose that opportunity as well.
You guys have done an amazing job building this day in tonight. Special post again today, 2:45. Normally we kick things off here at 7 o'clock at Penn National, 6 o'clock some nights as well, but a 2:45 post, 12 race card. Remember when I first came out here? I believe we've been here for every Penn Mile. When I started coming out here for the 2016 version for Catch a Glimpse, and 3-4 stakes on the card.
Right.
8 stakes tonight. This is the biggest Penn Mile card stakes-wise we've had, right?
This is. We had 7 last year. This year we had the involvement of the Match Series moved on to the day. We've worked with the Pennsylvania Breeders. We relocated a couple of their races, so we have those on the card today and a couple next week. But the Match Series brought a couple extra races to us. And then the 3 traditional races, the Governor's Cup, the Oaks, and the Penn Mile, those have been mainstays since day one. So we're just going to be a big day.
Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, just 5, but I'll tell you what. That's a nice matchup tonight. You got Pure Sensation here. He's a different horse in Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes, he is. And, you know, he's 9 years old now and doesn't look like he's planning on stopping anytime soon.
Just keeps on going. I'll tell you one thing. He wouldn't mind if a couple of clouds covered that sun for a little while and he got a little cut in that ground tonight.
Yeah.
He is a beast on that wet ground.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll definitely be the morning line favorite, and then George Navarro and his team, they'll be coming in there somewhere close. But I think, you know, even though it's only 5, it's going to be competitive, and there might be an opportunity. I don't know if that's a race that I would single. You know, it's small enough field that you may want to use it in one of the 15% takeout pick fours as an all. And hope for a bomber to come in to drive your price up a little
bit. Talk about the wagering menu tonight.
Yeah, we start off, we got 4... Our 3 all-stake pick 4s. So you start the 4th through the 7th with a pick 4, 15% takeout. Then we come back with the match pick 4, again, 15% takeout, and that's 6 through 9. And then the Penn Mile pick 4, which is races 8 through 11 with the anchor by the Penn Mile. Again, 15% takeout on all of them. We have a mandatory payoff on the 2nd. Unfortunately, the pools aren't huge or the carryovers aren't huge, but a mandatory payout on the super high 5 on the 2nd and the Penn pick 6 on races 3 through 8. And then on top of all that, if that's not enough for you, we're also part of the cross-country pick 5 with Belmont today and the Pennine Ridge. So you'll get that, then the Susquehanna, the Governor's Cup, the Oaks, and then the Penn Mile in the pick 5.
I'm ready to fire away into the pick 4s and the pick 5s.
That's what
today.
I love to hear.
I'm ready to roll. That late pick 4 here and that cross-country pick 5, Jude Felton will join us later on. We covered it on the Weekend Stakes preview last night. We're going to talk about it later on in this program today. Yeah, I mean, just an amazing job. You guys have really, we talked, Brittany and I, at the top of the show, the money from the slots and from the casino has obviously helped. But, you know, you can put the money in some people's hands, and they'll just sit on it, and they'll take it for granted. You guys, you know, you, of course, our buddy Eric Zimney, who, he calls a lot of the shots. Mm-hmm. You guys have taken the money, and you have built an amazing product and an amazing night of racing here.
We
and
have,
it's to
you
your
know,
credit.
It's,
and really, I mean, it's just a fantastic, fantastic night of racing.
Yeah, I've been a firm believer. You know, sometimes we get into some beefs with the horsemen. Fortunately, we have a really good group here of horsemen, and they understand, you know, you need to have that marquee race. You need to have that marquee day that puts you on the map. It gets people looking at you during simulcast. And days like this, they just drive the business for the rest of the year. You know, we started that. It used to be a time where we ran 1 stake every weekend, and then, you know, after a while, you realize that you're putting a lot of energy into stuff that's just becoming another race. A $50,000 stake is not driving the bus anymore, so we've created big days. You're seeing this at racetracks around the country anymore, and it's kind of the norm, and it's really working.
It's where the game's gone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and you guys have done a great job at, you know, following suit and just jumping on board. You know, with everything that's gone on this year, I think it's now more than ever, we need, it's obviously a business, but we need to protect the game, and we need to kind of do it together. And you guys have certainly, you know, you've embraced that here.
Absolutely. You know, we've always been safety conscious. I mean, you know, you read some of the stuff in the media, and that in Pennsylvania gets a little bit of a bad rap on some of those blogs out there. We're not going to mention names, but we've always been very safety conscious. We've had pre-race exams long before most people. We have a hell of a review process for every catastrophic injury that happens here. We have one of the lowest catastrophic injury rates in the industry, so we're very happy with that. Our courses are very safe. But as everybody knows, from time to time, stuff does happen, but we do everything we can possibly to prevent that.
talking with Eric Johnston, the director of racing operations here at Hollywood Casino and Penn National Racing Course. All right. Got Chad Brown here with Regal Glory for the Penn Oaks. She figures to be a pretty big favorite tonight.
Yeah, she's looking like she's going to be very dominant in there. You got a couple of horses. I think there's a couple of outsiders that may do something to impress. Ujaji is in there for Aaron McClellan.
Is she staying in the Oaks?
She's staying in the Oaks.
Okay.
And oddly, Uriah St. Louis, you know, he put that little filly in there. She's got some stakes experience. I think she's grade two placed late, early in her in her career, so
Demoiselle, right? She came up for the Demoiselle. Yeah. I think she was behind Positive Spirit. She finished behind Positive Spirit.
Yeah,
that day.
You know, everybody kind of chuckled at him when he ran around the country with Discreet Lover, and you know, he won a couple of grade ones and proved that the horse had capabilities. So, we're really excited to have him in there. They could be an interesting part of the play. Are they going to be able to get over top on Regal Glory? It's going to be, we'll know better tonight.
Strong renewal of the Penn Mile as well.
This is probably the best Penn Mile since the 2016, and depending on where these horses go from here, it may come out as being the best. I'm really excited about A Thread of Blue being in there, Casa Creed. There's about six horses in there that have a legitimate shot of winning, and the other two or three, well, we're going to see. They may surprise us. There's a reason they're here. They paid their money. They have faith in their horse, obviously, or you wouldn't be here, so it's going to be a great race.
The Black Album's coming up. He ran well in a couple of Kentucky Stakes.
Yeah, the Black Album. And
I need to find out if that's named after Jay-Z or Metallica. I haven't been able to find this out yet. Let's try and get on that today, guys.
Okay, yeah, we'll put an APB out on that and see what we can find out.
Yeah, we had Jeremiah on right before you came on. And, you know, he's excited for 40 under, obviously. You mentioned A Thread of Blue. It was a wind machine down at Gulfstream this year.
Yeah, backing up to the mile should really suit him well. I mean, he just got caught there in the final couple of jumps in his last start, so.
Casa Creed comes in for Bill Mott. Mike Francesa owns a piece of him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, JEH Racing is Mike Francesa.
Oh, good. Very good. One thing about Bill Mott, and I watched this, you know, through my career, which his career spans longer in the industry than mine does, but I've watched him, and he doesn't come because he has nothing better to do. He and Steve Asmussen are two guys that, you know, if they show up, they got a chance to win.
As good as the food is in Skybox, he's not coming for Skybox.
No, isn't that amazing? Final Cut maybe, but not the Skybox.
I come for Skybox. I actually like a price in there tonight. I like Steve Asmussen's horse, Fluminense.
I think things are setting up in the right direction for that horse. You know, Steve thought enough of him to try him in a grade one last fall. Took some time off. He comes back, wins that allowance race pretty easily over at Churchill on Derby Day. Yeah, I agree 100% with you. I think he's here for business.
In order, I come for the cheesesteak third, the racing second, but I'll tell you another thing, which is my favorite part of coming out here, and that is the crowd you guys will have out here tonight. They will be stacked deep out here on the apron. They'll be inside, they'll be outside, they'll be all, they make a lot of noise. And you know what, it's just so good to come out to a racetrack and see everybody, you know. And again, with the grandstand, I'm not used to these. I'm used to, you know, Belmont Park's 3/8 of a mile long. It's 3/8 of a mile long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come here and it's a family feel, and this crowd year in and year out does not disappoint.
That's exactly right. And the family feel is really important to us. You know, we want to make it an all family event. We want the kids to come out and see the show.
Plenty of them.
Yeah. And this is not a day that we drive toward the kids. We have a lot of other things going on. Like next week, we'll have Camels and Ostrich racing here. Love to have the kids coming out for that. We've got a little food truck festival coming up. We got a celebration for Father's Day. We're taking a step back in time. We're going to run the last four Sundays in the month of June. We haven't run Sundays since the late 90s. So we're going back to some Sunday afternoon race, and our patrons have told us that, hey, why can't we try this again? So we're going to give it a shot and see what happens.
Okay.
Hope it works out, you know, and if these four Sundays work out the way we're hoping, it'll drive what we do next year.
Is it every Sunday in June?
Last four, so the 9th, the 16th, the 23rd.
Gotcha. Okay, so not tomorrow, but after
correct,
tomorrow,
yeah.
The rest of the Sundays in June.
Tomorrow's the day to catch our breath. Today's a lot of work and a lot of preparation going into it, and you'll see that all culminate as you have for the last couple of years.
Yeah. My fourth in a row. I hope I'm here for the next 44. Although I wouldn't count. I don't know if I'm making 86. I don't think it's happening.
I have faith in you.
But you guys really, Eric, a great job. Thank you for everything you do here on the network as well. And I know you see you take a step back tomorrow. Try and enjoy tonight. You guys have really built something special here at Penn. try and take a little step back and enjoy it a little bit tonight.
We're going to, yeah. You know, and building something special is really the key to it. You know, in the first couple of years, it was a megaphone to get guys to come in, and we got really lucky. We had some top-name trainers. But you look at the trainers that are represented here today, it's, I think there's five Hall of Famers. There's probably eight Kentucky Derby-winning trainers on this card.
That's crazy.
There's 35 Triple Crown winners, and I don't know how many Breeders' Cup winners on the card. But, I mean, it's just a who's who of the training world from the East Coast to the Midwest. So really excited about that.
First post, 245 tonight. Thanks, Eric.
My pleasure. I just have one question remaining.
Sure.
Where do I get one of these limited edition T-shirts that you're wearing?
Oh, I have my Beast of the Belmont T-shirt on this morning because, you know, after the Preakness until the Belmont, I turn into the Beast. This is the only one that exists.
Jeez.
Which okay. is kind of giving it away because I've worn it like three times since the Preakness, so I do wash it.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask. I was going to make sure
it's the only one that exists.
All right, man. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, and we appreciate you being here.
You got it. Thank you for having us. Eric Johnston, Director of Racing Operations from Hollywood Casino and National. We'll take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Stuart Morris Industry Star of the Week. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Kentucky Derby winner Orb. On the track, his runners have scored on both dirt and turf, including multiple stakes winner Autumn Warrior and Sipican Harbor winner of the Grade 1 Spinaway Stakes at Saratoga. On the track, Orb continues to add winners. And in the sales ring, his two-year-olds have sold up to $250,000 in 2019. Classic winner, classic pedigree, Orb, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation, stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
A 16th to go. Sistron trying to finish the job. Airstrike bearing down. It's Sistron or Airstrike. Airstrike getting to Sistron. And Airstrike gets him in the final jump.
Airstrike, the four-year-old son of Darley Stallion Street Sense, took the Grade 2 Triple Bend at Santa Anita this past Saturday, earning a 94 buyer speed figure and a spot in the limelight as this week's Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Kentucky Derby. Airstrike became Street Sense's fifth greatest stakes winner in 2019. Only Tappet and Curlin can top that number. Learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
They're coming to the top of the stretch. Mind Control, Nitrous, and Mucho turn for home across the track in the hopeful. It is Mind Control, Mucho on the far outside, Nitrous in between those two. Sambaye is fourth. Three of them still going at it. Mind Control, Nitrous, and Mucho. They continue to race across the track, and Mind Control is clinging to the lead. Mucho on the outside is second best to Mind Control in the hopeful. And then came Nitrous and Sambaye.
Lawrence Comas on the call again. Hopeful winner. Mind Control getting ready for next Saturday's Woody Stevens. You'll hear it here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as part of our Belmont Stakes undercard. Steve Grabowski going to return to the airwaves next Saturday. Looking forward to sitting next to Steve up high atop the finish line at beautiful Belmont Park. 2 to 5 p.m. for that undercard coverage next week here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Trainer Greg Sacco has Mind Control getting ready for that Woody Stevens, and he is this week's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Stuart Morris offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank their owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you, with multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy. He's running today in the Pennine Ridge, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy. Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. And earlier this week, Greg Sacco was our guest on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton, and now he is today's Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. Here's Greg.
Greg, when did you first walk into the paddock and look around and see all of the other great trainers that were saddling their horses and think to yourself, yeah, you know what? This is pretty cool. I made it. I belong here.
I've always felt that growing up the son of a trainer, you need the stock. The stock makes you look good and bad, I always thought that, my dad's tutelage and my uncles and, the love of the horses and, how we were brought up and, the work ethic, everything was there. But, you have to earn it. You have to earn your respect of your peers and everything. And I felt ways back that I've always, earned the respect of peers and, the way we run our shed row and the way our horses look and everything. And so I've always felt I belonged. And, but at this level, you still have to prove yourself. And like I said, last year winning the hopeful was one thing, but then, he's developed into a three-year-old. And that's something you want to do and you want to accomplish. And so, very proud of Mind Control and my staff that's prepared them and under my guidance. But, you need your staff. And, of course, you need the horse to develop. So I've never had illusions that, wave a magic wand. It's the trainer. I mean, yes, it's the trainer. But, you need the staff and you need the horse. And so, as long as that continues for us, I think that, I'll be continue to grow as a trainer and the barn will prosper. And, we can compete at these high-level races, which, you dream about as a kid. I'm 53. I've been doing it, I've been training for 30 years. I've been doing it my whole life. But, relatively not, past my prime, I think that, I enjoy this level. And I've always wanted to race at this level. So it's something that it's coming to fruition, and I'm certainly not taking it lightly.
Well, you've come a long way since Political Pocket at Garden State Park.
I haven't heard that name in a long time. That was my first winner. Wow. I haven't heard that name in 30 years.
What do you remember about that day?
I think most of my uncles are in that picture because I think we thought he would win. I haven't seen the picture in a long time, but I think almost the whole family showed up for that race at Garden State. It's many moons ago. I actually never forget my first one. I think Joe Rocco wrote him. But, we've come a long way, and hopefully we continue on this path.
Well, let me throw another name at you then and tell me about this day. A horse by the name of Never My Love.
Never My Love was my first stakes winner at Laurel. She'd won her first two races. That's a filly that I bought with a club foot with my brother. And I think we paid $5,500 or something for it at the Garden State sale. She was by Wing T, Pretty Chestnut Filly. Chris DiCarlo rode her. A cold December day at Laurel, but it was a good race. It was a good race, and you know, I'll never forget that filly. No, that picture's still hanging on the wall.
Sure.
Is training over right now, or are they on a break?
They're on break.
Okay,
welcome back. Yeah, that was Greg Sackle going down memory lane. He's got Mind Control, Brittany Saturday, in the pointed to the Woody Stevens. Part of that loaded undercard. Finally a grade one after a bunch of years as a grade two. And just an amazing undercard planned for next week before the 151st Test of the Champion.
It's going to be awesome. And I'm so excited to see Mind Control back. Over the winter, Greg Sacco was stabled at Belmont, and he was right across from our barn. Man, that's a nice horse. Completely class, great horse. I think the Woody Stevens will be a great spot for him.
He ran really well in the golf, and he finished second. He was in the teeth of the pace. He was on the wrong part of the racetrack. They didn't decide to go on with him. They fought the Derby fever. They cut him back. They won the Bayshore, and mm-hmm. ended up keeping him on the path. A lot of good races out there for the three-year-old sprinters, including the Woody Stevens. Of course, the Alan Jerkins up at Saratoga on Travers undercard. So
Yes. They're
content with being on the undercards and winning races as opposed to running in the big ones and not getting the money.
Listen, a grade one's a grade one. I feel like this horse has a great summer ahead of him.
No question about it. No question about it. That's all next week. Again, check horseracingradio.net for the satellite information for Belmont Stakes Day 2019. All right. Great first hour in the books. When we come back, Karen McLaughlin, Dr. Jerry, host of others. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Radio. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Point of Honor has taken the lead. Ulele runs after her. Cookie Dough is third. Point of Honor and Ulele down to the wire. Point of Honor wins the black-eyed Susan Under, hot riding Javier Castellano.
There's an eighth of a mile to go. Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie Zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th, and it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Mr. Ritz and Super Tabbit neck and neck. Super Tabbit, Mr. Ritz, they hit the wire. A head bop between the two, Super Tabbit or Mr. Ritz, a head bop decides it. A thriller in the eclipse.
Hunting Horn trying to hold on. Here comes Channel Maker on the outside, ranging up alongside. Magic Wand and Arc Lower closing in two. Channel Maker strikes the front. Channel Maker wins the battle war.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Brittany Attris.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by Brittany Attris. We're live at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna, and the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. Jude will come on to wrap the show, talk a little cross-country Pick Five, all about the Grade Two $500,000 sixth running of the Penn Mile tonight here at Penn National on an absolutely glorious morning. Still have some horses training, Brittany. We've already seen close to 100 horses on this track this morning, and it's just a glorious morning here right in the shadows of the Blue Mountains.
We even saw Black Album, the Black Album training this morning.
We did.
Going for a little jog.
We got to get to the bottom of that.
Mm-hmm.
Jay-Z or Metallica?
I hope Metallica.
I do too, but I would think that, you know, Jay-Z's a little more, the Black Album for Jay-Z's a little more contemporary.
Mm.
I would think that would be the place. We have a poll for you up this morning. Trainer Jeremiah Engelhardt has already joined us. He talked about his 40 under. Who's in that Penn Mile tonight? And right now, we are joined by Kieran McLaughlin. A Thread of Blue is in the Penn Mile tonight. He has Ala Sahil in the Penn Oaks as well. Karen, it's Anthony and Brittany here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for some time this morning. Karen, are you there?
Yeah.
There he is. Morning, Colonel.
Good morning.
Where are you emanating from this morning? You at Saratoga, you down at Belmont?
I'm at Belmont.
All right. You coming out tonight, or are you going to be watching it from home?
I'm clocking one at the main track and then flipping over to the training track and working several at 9:30 to 10.
All right. You making your way out to Penn National tonight, or are you going to be staying back in back on Long Island?
Doe Lee's going to go that way in a little while. I'll watch on TV.
All right. Tell Joe to stop by. We're right on the finish line if he wants to swing by. A couple of runners for McLaughlin Stables today. We got the filly, Ella Sayil. Am I saying that correctly?
What's that?
Ella Sayil. Am I saying that properly?
Yeah. However you say it, it's okay with me. I can't say it.
At least you're honest.
We'll go. We'll go with Ella Sayil and A Thread of Blue. Kieran, this horse, he's really something on the turf. He's been good on both surfaces. He broke his maiden on the dirt, and then you guys had tried him on the turf before he broke his maiden. He broke his maiden off the turf, and then some winter down at Gulfstream with him. Undefeated in three starts at Gulfstream Park.
He was a little unlucky in the two races in New York, too. Second to Current, and then kind of a troubled trip in his next start. So Florida worked out well to win three in a row down there. It just worked out great. And then second at Churchill was a nice race.
Yeah, that was a big effort. He's a versatile sort, too. He's won on the lead. He's gone fast. He's gone kind of slow. He's come from off the pace. Is he an easy horse to train because of his tactical speed and how versatile he is?
Yes, he's a pleasure to train, does everything right. And we just trained him normal and run every month. We had to give him a little bit of time from early March to early May. We gave him 60 days into his last race, and now we're back on 30 days. But he's doing great, and we thought the cut back to a mile would work out well.
Haven't done much with him on paper anyway, just that one breeze between the American turf and this Penn mile tonight. He cuts back to the mile after a couple of mile in the 16th races. Do you think the mile's his best distance?
It's hard to say. I don't know, but it should work out well because there's not that much pace. He doesn't have to be on the lead, but if he is on the lead, it works out well. It's hard to say. He could probably get a mile and a quarter if he's left alone on an uncontested lead. So you never know. There's a little bit of pace tonight, and we'll see. It's hard to know what his best distance is, but he's doing very well.
Really seems to get along with Luis Saez as well. Since Luis gotten aboard, he's done very little wrong in that race last time in the American turf. Even in defeat, that might have been the best race yet.
Luis Saez fits him very well, and we're happy to have him go over there. He's only second on it the one time, so he fits the horse very well.
I know in that American turf, was that actually a firm turf course on May 4th? I feel like there was some rain.
I'm sorry. I wonder if I couldn't hear the question.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. When he was in the American turf last time out, was that actually a firm turf course? Because I feel like there was quite a bit of rain, and I think he might like this course a lot better today. It's very nice.
Yeah, no, it was not firm. Definitely had some give in the ground, and he seems to handle firm, soft, yielding, all the above. So he's a pretty neat horse as far as that goes.
What a cool horse.
Yeah, you talk about how well Louis fits him. Do you give him any instructions, Kieran, or will Joe give him any instructions, or will he just let him break out of there and see how it unfolds early on?
Yeah, tonight we won't have a lot of instructions. Hopefully we'll break well and we're there, and if somebody goes to clear us, then we'll lay second or third, but hopefully we're there on or near the lead.
We were talking earlier about how you got the three options with the three-year-olds on the turf today. You could go to run at Monmouth in the Tail of the Cat. Obviously, the Pennine Ridge is a mile and an eighth at Belmont and the mile here. What brought you guys out here with a threat of blue?
It worked out well timing-wise. You know, it's back in a month, and it's an important race, $500,000, and it's a mile, and we just thought that we fit very well this race, and had we waited to run back in the Pennine Ridge, we might catch some more tougher horses. So it just worked out well.
Yeah, and he seems to be doing really, really well. Like you said, plenty of speed. He has plenty of speed, but he can come from off the pace as well. A race earlier on the card, Ala Sayil comes in for Shadwell. She broke her maiden down at Gulfstream Park as well. He had a sensational start to the year, especially down at Gulfstream. Last time out, she tried the mile and 3/16ths, first start against winners. Was that just a little out of her scope, you think?
Maybe, but you know, hard to say, but this was a great opportunity since we were already going to try and get some nice black type. And so we thought, let's put them both on the van and get them over there. So she's a nice filly. Looks like Chad Brown will be very tough, but we'd be happy if we hit the board. We're going to try and win, but we'd take second and third.
She, a lot like a threat of blue, she has some speed, she can be tactical. You reach out for Julian Leperu. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first horse you've put Julian on in about a year and a half or 2 years or so.
Yeah, we don't get to him that much. We like Julian, and it's tough to get to him sometimes, but we're happy to have him, and he was there tonight, so we've had some luck with him in the past.
Looks like the kind of filly that he'd fit as well, you know, having that tactical speed, one of the best set of hands in the business, and like you said, trying to get that black type, so important with these fillies.
Yeah, she'll be close. She doesn't have to be on the lead, and she should be close. We'll leave it up to him to see how the break goes and how the race unfolds. But we try and get the best of available jockeys, and they can make the call after the break.
We're talking with trainer Kieran McLaughlin. He has Ala Sayil in the Penn Oaks and a threat of blue. Figures to go off the favorite in the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile.
Now, Kieran, of course, everybody was really excited about High Call going into the Derby Trail. What's he up to now?
Well, he went home Friday Oaks morning. And once he wasn't sound enough to run, he went home to be checked out, and he checked out perfect at Rude and Riddle. But since he was home, they decided to give him 30 days to 45 days at the farm, and hopefully he'll be back pretty soon. And no surgery or anything, just he had some feet issues, and they're better now, and he's got some time off, so we're looking forward to getting him back pretty soon.
It'll be really nice to have a nice fresh horse for the summer.
Yes, for the fall of the year, yes, it will be. He's a really neat horse, so I'm not sure what we'll point him for, but we'll be happy when he shows up.
Kieran, a week out from the 151st Belmont Stakes, of course, back in 2006, Jazzle gave you your first win. American Classic. Talk about Jazz a little bit. 13 years ago, can you believe that?
That's a little scary. Time goes by fast. He finished fourth in the Kentucky Derby, and we skipped the Preakness. And I remember working him 3 weeks after the Derby, and then missing his next work, and because the track wasn't perfect, so we decided not to work him. And everybody thought we couldn't win by not working him, but it worked out great. And Fernando Jara rode him, and when he broke from the gate, I think he lost his stirrup momentarily right in front of us there, being that it was a mile and a half. And then he ran down the backside. He made a big move, and around the turn, moved right up to the leaders. I think it was Bluegrass Cat, and went by him, and it was just a huge win. Great to win an American Classic, and neat horse.
Yeah, 100 Belmont Stakes, 151. Next week, we're talking with trainer Kieran McLaughlin. That was 2006. This year, he's going to try and win the Penn Oaks with Alice Aiel and the Penn Mile with A Thread of Blue. Kieran, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get over to the training track. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, and appreciate all your good work and hard work for our industry.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks, as always. Trainer Kieran McLaughlin. He's not too many. There's nobody better. Maybe some is good, nobody better. Better person, trainer than Kieran McLaughlin.
He's so nice, so good with his horses, so approachable. He's a great person.
We had a great feature, if I do say so myself. I did the interview, Jude wrote the feature. We had a great feature lined up on him and Rajiv Mirage for our Belmont Stakes broadcast, for our Kentucky Derby broadcast.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he comes down with the foot abscess and stuff.
Yeah.
I owe Kieran one. When High Call came out, it allowed me to throw my fifth pick into all the main plays. That was Country House.
There you go.
So,
you owe him one big time.
Yes, I owe the Colonel the Piccolo Boussola Feast. That I'll be collecting my Piccolo Boussola Feast from Kentucky Derby from Steve Dudenoff this Wednesday night, because he told me Bob Baffert was going to win the Derby, and I told him he was not going to win the Derby. Back on January 24th.
The exact day?
I have it written down. I have all my fan wagers
That's
written
incredible.
Down, Miss Attris. I have to try to skate on you. You can't let them be skating on you. Remember that. Always remember that. All right. Like all our guests, Kieran McLaughlin will be getting some apparel from Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion for horse racing over at EmbraceTheRace.com. I guess we got to send Eric some stuff, too. We'll figure it out. And I'm not just saying that because he's all over my shoulder with Dr. Jerry. Dr. Jerry will join us in a little bit after the break. Before we go to break, though, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. War of Wills Belmont prep work won't include a breeze. Knowing the recent racing history of War of Will and the mile-and-a-half classic that awaits, trainer Mark Hasse is more than comfortable just having his Grade 1 Preakness Stakes winner gallop in preparation for the Grade 1 June 8th Belmont Stakes presented by Naira Betts. War of Wills expected to be the lone horse to start in all three of this year's classics. He placed 7th in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve at Churchill Downs, where stewards determined he was fouled in the far turn by Maximum Security, then scored a clear victory in the May 18th Preakness at Pimlico Racecourses. Gary Barber's War of Will looks to become the first horse since a Fleet Alex in 2005 to win the Preakness in Belmont after coming up short in the Derby. Cassie certainly is concerned about the fitness after his three-year-old completed the mile and a quarter Kentucky Derby and won the mile and 3/16 Preakness. In fact, the son of War of Front has not breezed since earning the bullet among 79 workers April 27th at Churchill when he completed a half mile in 47-3. I didn't breeze in between the Derby and the Preakness, as some do. I know we have an extra week this time, but I kind of look at the positives and the negatives, and here's a horse that if he's not fit by now, he'll never be fit, Cassie said. If he gets beaten at Belmont, it's not going to be from lack of fitness. I promise you that. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Are you using the Blood Horse and Weatherby's Global Stallions app? It has a wealth of continuously updated information on over 800 stallions, including racing stats for their foals, upcoming entries, and recent results. The app is free and works with both phones and tablets. Download the app today or go to globalstallionsapp.com to learn more. The only one, Miss Brittany, that will run in all three Triple Crown races this year. We picked up another starter for the Belmont Stakes for the Test of the Champion next week in Bourbon War yesterday. Mike Smith will ride, but War will coming in with Tyler Gaff and Leon. He'll be the only one to run on all three legs of the Triple Crown.
I'm pretty excited. I'm really excited to see him in person at Belmont, too. I don't know if he's there already.
I think he's coming in. I think he might be coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not certain, though.
It'd be pretty cool if he could do...
Tomorrow, Monday.
If he could take the Belmont, too. I think it's an interesting approach that Mark's taking, not breezing him in between, but he has a point. He's fit. He's race fit.
I'll tell you what will be interesting. If he wins the Belmont Stakes, the amount of what-ifs.
From the Derby?
From the Derby.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
It'll be very interesting. Very, very interesting. Only time will tell. I, for one, think things might have been different. It's amazing. It'd be amazing to have to, you know, because we've seen so many near misses and so many horses win the Preakness and the Belmont after, you know, a misstep in the Derby.
Yeah.
You know, and the point given just was ranked that day. And, you know, a Fleet Alex didn't maybe get the best trip in the Derby. And there's been countless. Risen Star, of course. Yep. Risen Star before you were born. But, yeah, you know, just so many. And now... none ever had this. None ever were involved in an inquiry that took down the winner.
Now, so all I can say is that picture that was all over the internet was pretty questionable. So if it was different, I don't know.
We'll find out in 1 week, and you're home for all of the racing's biggest events right here. We'll have you covered from 2 to 7:30,
wow.
I believe. Undercard from 2 cover. To 5. Belmont coverage from 5 to 7:30. Belmont coverage presented in conjunction with Westwood One and NBC Sports. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, Dr. Jerry Pack is going to join us, Association Vet here at Penn National. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Woodbine is now racing 4 days a week, every Wednesday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And racing is back on the turf, as the E.P. Taylor Turf Course, home to the longest stretch in North America, is now available, along with the new 7-furlong inner turf course set to open in mid-June. Premium racing days this month include the Grade 2 Connaught Cup, June 1st, the Woodbine Oaks and Queen's Plate Trial, June 8th, and the Queen's Plate Festival, June 28th and 29th. Visit woodbine.com today. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Bloods sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Here's Hawkish making a bold bid the far outside. He's bankable as drop back. Next is Colt Mississippi. And way early as they turn for the wire, encumbered Maraud. Here comes Hawkish the outside. These three will battle in the final furlong. And Hawkish takes over. Maraud back to second. Encumbered as weakened. Colt Mississippi coming on. But it is Hawkish and Manny Franco to score convincingly in the pen mile. Might have been way early getting second. He's in the photo with Colt Mississippi. Maraud checked in for it.
Welcome back. Hawkish took the 2018 renewal of the Penn Mile. Jimmy Tone, Manny Franco is going to try to go back-to-back when he rides 40 under tonight. Welcome back to Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse on an absolutely brilliant Saturday morning. 2:45 first post if you're coming out to Penn National today. Normally I would say tonight, but we got 2:45 first post. We'll go on the air at 6 o'clock here on the network. Sirius XM 156. Fight Nation. Live coverage of the Susquehanna, the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, and that Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile. Nice enough to join us now for our annual visit, Dr. Jerry Pack, the association vet here at Penn National. We'll hand it off to Todd Mostoller in a little bit, the executive director of the Pennsylvania HPBA. Hi, Doc.
Good morning, sir. Welcome to Penn National.
Thank you.
You and Brittany. Great morning.
Yes. It's been a fantastic morning. Always good to see you. Sunrise's Sunrise breakfast program is already underway.
Yes, sir. It is.
And you were walking some interesting things over there when you first came in this morning.
This is a pair of legs that I dissected out when I was in veterinary college for education of my clients. So they've been a real big hit here at our Sunday morning sunrise.
Yeah, you know, I host a breakfast program at Belmont, and we don't have legs. We don't have legs. I may have to add that in. I have to steal that idea from you. How's it been up here? How's everything going, all right?
Very good. We've had the last couple of years been pretty tough with all our rain. Our turf course numbers are down as far as starts.
Talking to Eric about that earlier, yeah, less than 50 races down from 120 last year.
Normally we run about 1,200 starters a year on our turf. I think last year we started 540 horses.
Wow. Wow. That's tough. That's tough. Your side of the ball. Side of the ball's been in the news a lot this year.
We're under real scrutiny, you know. We've got a lot of armchair people out there, quarterbacks in football, and here I guess we'd call them owners, trainers, and veterinarians, that don't understand this game. They don't understand what we do to prevent all this bad publicity that we've been getting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you guys really do a fantastic job up here. How has it affected you guys? How has it affected you?
You know, I take it pretty personal when I get abused for some of the decisions that I have to make. You know, I don't have 30 minutes to examine a horse in the starting gate to say whether he's going to run or not. That's kind of a snap decision. It's based on experience. I have a great jockey colony here. They know that if they bring a horse to me and say, Doc, he's not right, whether I can see something wrong with him, we're not going to take the chance. I'm not going to put that jock nor that horse in jeopardy. I'm not sending him back for a rider change. He's out. He'll live to run another day.
Yeah, and with everything going on, do you pull the trigger on that a little sooner now?
No, you know, I have always considered the horse on that particular day. I don't want the back history. There are some signs that will tell me maybe something's up, but I make that decision based on what I see and what that jock's telling me.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been in this profession for longer than you are old. I've been here at Penn National about 25 years. I worked as a private practitioner for a number of years. I worked for the commission for about 14 years, and I've been with Penn about 10.
So you're a lifer.
I'm a lifer. You know, I left the commission and took the job with Penn National. I thought there were some things that Penn National would allow me to do that I thought were very important. One of the first things we did in 2010 was we started a review process. And by that I mean anytime we have a catastrophic injury during racing, during training, all our horses go in for autopsies or necropsies. We have a database that goes back to 1997.
To over 20 years.
So in 2010, with Penn's backing, we started the review process. So now, with our injuries, after we get the necropsy report back, we'll go through the medical records on the horse. We'll watch the replay of the race. And then we call that trainer in. And we want to know what that trainer knew. Did that trainer miss something? Was it just one of those things where we had a catastrophic injury? The program has been phenomenal. If you see now, it is almost standard operating procedures across the United States at all racetracks. The trainers like it. They like to know what was going on. You know, it lets them know that Penn National, we're concerned about what happens on our racetrack. We want them to know that they're not going to walk away with an injury and say, well, unfortunately, he took a bad step. So it's been a tremendous program. We feel that it's been very beneficial. Over about the last 5 or 6 years, all racetracks has been reporting their catastrophic injuries to a national database. And back when we first started it, we were looking at a rate of about 1.8 catastrophic injuries per 1,000 starts. The past year, that rate was down to 1.4 per 1,000.
That's
so
great.
We have made some drastic steps in the right directions to try to prevent catastrophic injuries. All sports, there's injuries occur.
Sure.
Racing's no different. Unfortunately, we're dealing with a 1,000 to 1,200-pound animal that you can't say you're going to lay down on that bed for 6 months till you heal. And there are injuries that we can repair. There are injuries that certainly are to the extent that there is no hope of repairing those horses.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We'd all love to get that number down to zero, but we don't live in that utopian world, so we do what we can, right?
Absolutely. You know, and these horses tell us when they don't want to do things. You see a horse that's been loading in a starting gate with no problem, and all of a sudden he don't want to load, or he's bad in the paddock, and they're telling us, if we're just smart enough to listen to them, that there's something going on that we need to address.
Talking with Dr. Jerry Pack, the association vet here at Penn National, what's it been like for you, before we let Todd jump in for a few minutes, what's it been like for you to be a part of this night, now day and night? Starts out with 3 stakes, right in the one. Now 8 stakes tonight, one of the richest cards in the history of Penn National Racecourse. What's it been like? Because you do a lot here, and you guys got to be real proud of the night and the day and the night you guys have created.
You know, where we are from when I started here in 95 is phenomenal. Penn National supports racing. Contrary to what you might hear, Penn National supports racing. They support everything, you know, anything that I feel we need to do from the health and welfare of our horses, they're right on top of it. Not only here, but at all our racetracks. If we set a some kind of policy here at Penn National, it's adopted at all our other racetracks around the nation. So they absolutely support this racing industry.
Well, Doc, you do a great job. I love seeing you walk those legs this morning because, you know, one of my favorite gigs is hosting the breakfast, and it's all about getting the fans to come out and to learn more about our great sport, and we appreciate you doing that. It was really nice to see this morning.
Well, I appreciate you all here. I know when I see you here, it's a great day of racing. It's always a great day of racing at Penn National, but this is our best day of the year.
Any day of racing is a great day of racing,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
That's the way it works. Dr. Jerry Pack, the association vet here. Thanks, Doc. Todd, why don't you come on in for a few minutes? Todd Mostoller, the executive director of the Pennsylvania HBPA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Never better. Best day of my life.
How great is this day, huh?
Absolutely.
I was telling somebody at breakfast this morning, when the feet hit the ground, three quarters of the battle's over.
When you get up to over 50, I guess that's the way it is, but
speak for yourself, my friend. I got about 8 years left to go. Glorious morning. Great day and night of racing coming ahead. What's going on? How's everything up here?
Everything's a lot better than people want to say it is. You know, you just had a conversation with Jerry Pack about horse safety, and
As a board, the Pennsylvania HBPA Board of Directors, we've created initiatives. We were one of the first to go to the third-party administration of Lasix. We've also, our sister track, Presque Isle Downs, who our board actually oversees also. Not many people know this, but that the Pettus surface up there, the association has a horseman's association. We actually paid $3.2 million. We paid for half the expense of a track that we had no equity ownership in, but that's how much safety is on the forefront for the board of directors, and I commend the board of directors for having foresight and be willing to put their money where their mouth is. And you know, Presque Isle speaks for itself as far as the safety record. You look at the safety record there, it's a third, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, catastrophic breakdowns happen. It's an athletic event, but at Presque Isle we're a third of the national average, which is
wow,
which is phenomenal. And I think it speaks volumes of the surface that Michael Dickinson created, and I guess at the moment he's up to Tepeda 10 because he keeps making improvements. But
he's like Madonna, he keeps reinventing it.
Yeah, absolutely. But the board of directors have been supportive in all initiatives, and we'll continue to put horse safety at the forefront.
It's amazing when you look around this place, isn't it? I remember when I was a kid, we drove past here going to Hershey Park when I was younger, and you come up here now. And I remember my first trip here about 11 years ago. Was with my girlfriend and her niece and nephew at Hershey, and I said, "Is there anything to do around here?" And the guy said to me, "They like gambling." And I gave him a good chuckle. I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Great bar food and good gambling about 10 miles north." And I came up here, and man, even from 10, 11 years ago, it's grown. And I mean, this day and night of racing is just really second to none.
Well, we've done everything we can to create this marquee day. The match series, we've been involved with the match series.
Talk a little bit about that.
Pardon me?
Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Last year, we reinvigorated the match series. All the executive directors of HPPA's racetracks, THA, we sat down and we decided we wanted to recreate the match series. Last year was the first year. The one major change we made this year was previously there would be races at different racetracks on different weekends, and we made the decision it would benefit if we put all four races of the series at each racetrack so that horsemen could ship 3, 4, 5 horses and participate in all the races at one time. And this being the second match series event of the year, we think it's paid dividends. I was a little disappointed with the entries in the Governor's Cup a little bit with only 5 horses, 5/8 on the grass. But overall, it's been a success, and I think that will continue. It's nice for horsemen to be able to throw multiple horses on a van to compete in the series and the kind of money. And again, our board, the bonus money comes from the horsemen's associations. We all agreed to put up a substantial sum of money to create that bonus and to create that excitement for the match, which is really makes the match series go, or the bonuses. So, all the horsemen's groups have made those contributions, and I commend all those groups in the Mid-Atlantic for having vision to create something that I think can be special for a long time.
Imagine that, everybody getting together and driving towards one goal.
Well, we seem to be able to do it on the horseman's side. On the racetrack operator side, with all the tiffs that go on between the gorillas in the room, the Churchills and the Stronics, and I don't like to get involved in that too much unless we're forced to, but as horsemen, I think we're on the same page on a lot of issues, and this was certainly one of them.
We just want to play, right? It's kind of like that. We just want to play.
We want to play, and we want it to be fair, and we want it to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good looking out, as we'd say in the street.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Good looking out. Great job. We'll let you get going. We'll get to a break.
You don't want to talk about the Penn Mile?
You got one for me? Who do we like?
Oh,
listen, we could use all the opinions around here. That ends the all stakes, one of the all stakes pick fours. It ends the cross country pick five. I'm looking for. I like Asmussen's horse a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's a very competitive field, especially when you look at the weights. I think a Thread of Blue. Obviously, you talked to Kieran earlier. I think he's definitely the horse to beat. At the same time, I think he's a little vulnerable. Got away with some slow fractions in the American turf. The horse that beat him, I felt, I
going into that race, I felt was one of the best horses in the country. If you watch Digital Ages.
I agree with you 100%.
I mean, the race, his second race at Tampa, I still don't know how he got up and won that race.
Watch the maiden race again.
They were both
might be the
amazing.
Worst winning ride in the history of the world.
They were both pretty amazing. So he got beat by a decent horse, but he also let everything go his own way. The horse that interests me a little bit at a big number is the Black Album.
Me too.
I think he was sitting a trip down on the inside. When he tried to make his move in that particular race, he went down to the rail. And I don't think the rail, actually Thoroughgraph, gave it a dead rail rating. And I don't know why on that particular horse he doesn't have a dead rail rating. But that horse tried to make his move up the inside the last eighth of a mile and looked like he was running in quicksand.
Aren't too many guys riding better than Kendrick right now either.
It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a great race. We got a great weather day. In the mid-Atlantic here, it seems like it's thunderstormed every night didn't last night, but 5-6 days in a row, and I think we're going to avoid that, and we're going to have a great day, and hopefully all come home safe.
Yes, it'll be a great day of racing here. Hopefully this weather just stays the course that we got right now. Todd Mostaller, the executive director of the Pennsylvania HPBA, thanks for some time this morning.
Thanks for your time.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Ponta from the Pick 4, Jude Feld. He's going to expand his horizons. We're going to need him to become the Panther of the Pick 5. And he'll talk a little cross-country Pick 5 when we return. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Adina Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man is a sire in the making. A precocious juvenile, classic 3-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban in a dazzling time.
Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes grade 1 place 3-year-old Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by 5 easy lengths.
And talented 3-year-old Billy Mucho Unusual.
And this is going to be an authoritative score for Mucho Unusual. All the way in the Cal Cup Oaks.
A top 5 second crop sire in 2019. Mucho Macho Man. Standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
The 6th running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best 3-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features 4 match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be 3 all-stakes pick 4s with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile, Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Fans, come join us for great racing and good times this weekend at Santa Anita. On Saturday, we've got the Grade 3 Honeymoon for 3-year-old fillies and the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes for fillies and mares. Infield general admission and parking are free each weekend, so bring the family and enter via Gate 6 off of Colorado Place. Visit SantaAnita.com for more information. First post time this weekend is at 1 o'clock. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
They're into the stretch, and Clint Maroon trying to hold on here. His 5-star general is taken second on the outside, but Clint Maroon has now kicked away. Five-Star General down the middle. 40 Under is down toward the inside and has now moved up into second. Empire of War has taken third, and Five-Star General is back to fourth as Clint Maroon takes the Woodhaven. Pulling away under the wire by 4.5 lengths over 40 Under. Then it was Empire of War and Five-Star General.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by Woodbine Entertainment here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A, the Beast, that's me, Brittany Attris, that's her.
Hi.
Filling in for Mike Penna. And our next guest, we're live at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. He is not. Jude is down in Kentucky.
I hope it's nice weather there, too, because it's pretty perfect here.
Jude, how's the weather down there? Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. It's a beautiful day in the bluegrass. The sun is shining, and hopefully it stays that way the rest of the day.
All right. Well, you and I have been talking about this cross-country pick five, mostly me. I'm really excited about this thing tonight. Starts with that Pennine Ridge. We gave out a ticket last night on the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. We are going to talk about a few of the races today. I know you're excited. You love turf racing more than anything, and it's all stakes pick five on the turf. And I know you got to be pumped for that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Happy that the races are on the grass. How's the weather up there? Is the turf course going to be firm, or what are we looking at?
Eric was talking about good to firm. You know, I would. You know, you and I have talked about this too. Probably good firm. I refused. I think I'm ready to start really raging against the machine. I'm coming up with my own turf rating system. I think it's good firm today.
All right. Well, that's good. That'll make our ticket as small as we could possibly make it.
Yes, exactly. All right. Let's start off with the Pennine Ridge. Who you like at Belmont?
Well, Clint Maroon has the best turf figure coming out of his last race. He's 20 points higher than par for the level, so he looks like a formidable foe. Seismic Wave had a terrible trip last time. He's kind of become the wise guy horse. He's 6-1 on the morning line. I would imagine he's going to be half that or even less. I wouldn't be shocked if he went favored the way people have been talking about him, so... those are the two that I like best. I think Value Proposition and Social Paranoia both have a chance. They're going to have to improve, though, if they're going to run down Clint Maroon.
You have an opinion, Miss Attris?
I am really excited to see Seismic Wave. I hope he's not the favorite when the gates open.
He'll be close.
It'd be nice to get a little better than Even Money as a price, but I don't know.
Oh, he won't be Even Money, but he'll be good. He'll be 3-1, like Jude said. We're not getting 6-1. That's not happening.
6-1 would be nice.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. All right, let's turn our attention to right here at Penn National. We'll go on the air at 6:00. We'll have all four of these stakes we're going to talk about. Sirius XM 156, Susquehanna for the older fillies and mares. Where'd you land here, Pontiff?
Well, I think this is the toughest race of the sequence. It's pretty wide open. I thought Dynatail had a chance. Smoke and Patty Lassie, I thought she might have a chance. I'll Take the Cake and Enchanted Ghost. Enchanted Ghost is my top pick. Had some trouble last time. I think she's got some races on her chart that would win this if she has a clear trip. She's drawn outside. I don't think that's going to bother her a heck of a lot. But I'm going to spread in there.
Yeah, Brittany, secret message in La Moneda. That's a tough road to hoe to the first time you try the turf course, isn't it?
Seriously. They didn't put her in there very nice. I think she's going to like today a little better.
Let's throw her into the deep end of the pool. I mean, really.
Yeah.
We had Eric and we had Todd Mostaller on. A little disappointed by the fact that the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup only has five, but truth of the matter is, the two inside horses, Pure Sensation and Completed Pass, they're plenty. Pure Sensation, 8 years old now, multiple graded stakes winner. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to Penn, but he's a different horse in the state of Pennsylvania. He's won the Turf Monster a bunch of times. He's won the Parks Dash. He loves the air here out in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, brotherly love, you might say. He's he's a very good horse, and he's
really
made over $1.5 million. So we have to respect him, and you know, he has these over a barrel class wise, you would say. But completed passes solid. He's been running great since last year. Actually, from 2018 on, he's just been a machine. So I think you got to use them both.
Yeah, better to err on the side of caution than kick yourself for cutting your ticket in half and not getting alive.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think I'd use anybody else.
Not only does he need to.
I love completed pass.
Yeah, it's a nice horse.
Love him. First nice sensation. Horse. You have to like him too.
Yeah, Bob Bone will be here today as well.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Bone will be here today. All right, two big ones: Penn Oaks, Penn Mile, Penn Oaks. Remarkable Soul, obviously going to come out, will be on the turf here. They've only run, Jude, so you know, they've only run two races over this course so far, and the rails came all the way out. They put them back, so the inside of the course has not been touched yet. We'll have some races on the turf this afternoon and into the evening, obviously. Chad Brown's going to be 6-5 morning line, probably going to be less than that. Regal Glory, and you know, we always talk about the triple advantage. She might be a on the buyer scale, she's like a quadruple advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Is she really?
Yeah, Alisail ran a 75, and she ran, her worst number was a 75. So she's a quadruple advantage on the buyer scale.
Well, she's a very talented filly. She's done little wrong. I mean, 2 wins, 2 seconds in 4 starts. You got to like her. She's got a nifty pedigree by Animal Kingdom out of a More Than Ready mare. You know, not in love with the price, but, you know, what do you expect when you have a horse with that kind of record? I thought Alisail, Kieran McLaughlin's filly, had a shot. Her maiden breaker was pretty nice on the grass, and she came back and ran third in a good allowance race at Keeneland. And then Iconic is a horse that kind of interests me. She's another one. She broke her maiden first time out, came back, got beat in nose. Arno Delacour does a great job. She's a City Zip filly out of an Indian Ridge mare. She had a Best of the Morning blowout at Fair Hill. So I'm going to include her. I'm going to use the 5, 6, and 7.
All right. What about you, Britt? Is this the signal? Is this the Brittany Atrus single today? Is it Regal Glory?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do a try or something, I'd actually throw Uriah's horse in there because he's always there. He's always picking up a check somewhere.
And that,
Uriah's a trainer.
And Uriah St. Louis, we were talking about this yesterday, Jude. First horseman we saw this morning.
Yes.
He was in the hotel having breakfast as well. So Uriah has to be used in any kind of exotic wagers in the Penn Oaks. All right, the big one, the Penn Mile, Grade 2, $500,000 on the line. Good bunch in here. Kieran and Jeremiah were on earlier. They both seem pretty confident in their colts. Like the way they're coming into the race. Who do you like in the Penn Mile?
Well, you know, I think the race goes through a thread of blue. He's arguably the most accomplished horse in here. Got a lot of talent. I know Kieran's been high on him his whole life, basically. The horse's whole life, not Kieran. But anyway, he's a good horse. 40 under is also a very nice horse. I think he's a must-use. But I like Real News. Real News ran great last time. It was first time around 2 turns. He ran into English B, who I loved on the day. He had the highest turf number in the field. And this horse, Real News, he ran super hard, ran a really good race. And I understand from the barn that came out of the race fantastic. That's why they're running him back in 2 weeks. They're having a hard time holding him on the ground. And he's just at the top of his game, so they figured, why not? He's good. He's a big, strong, good-looking horse. You'll like him when you see him. And I'm gonna put him on top.
I know you respect Brittany's opinion. You'll be happy to know that when you said Real News, she was very giddy and happily nodding up and down in approval.
I quite like him. I think you're making a good decision there.
The 2 weeks bother you, Jude?
No, I think that's great. You know me; I don't mind running them back. I hate training. I like horses that run regularly and don't spend, you know, 40 days in training. I think that's to the detriment of the horse. Really, I don't mind running them back quick if they're good and sharp. And Al Stahl says this horse is fantastic. So why not run them when they're hot? You can give them a rest anytime. You know, Town and Country Farm that owns the horse, they spend a lot of time bringing horses back to the farm for like a month's little turnout or something, a freshening. So it's not a big deal to run back in 2 weeks. I always hearken back to my kid's mom, who used to run 7 miles a day, 365 days a year. Didn't bother her any until she was about 58.
So wow.
I think Real News can handle it.
That's 2,400 miles a year more than I run.
Yeah, more than most people run. I used to have trainer friends of mine say they were driving down the road, and they'd go, "Oh my God, I was driving down the road and your wife passed me." She went fast. She'd run 7 miles all out every day. So, I think a horse running back in 2 weeks isn't that big of a deal.
I'm so exhausted thinking about it. We got to let you go. I got to get to a break. I need to just all relax right. And decompress for a few minutes. Thanks, Jude. We'll talk
Thanks
to you next week.
You guys. All right.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
The Pontiff of the Pick Four, the one and only Jude Feld. We'll take one more break when we come back. Brittany and I will wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Record prize money for horsemen and great racing highlight the 145th spring meet at Churchill Downs. Churchill will be offering more than $30 million in total purses, an increase of nearly $8 million over 2018, with $12 million in stakes purses and $18 million in overnight races. Maiden races during the spring meet will be worth $85,000, up from $53,000 last year, and allowance purses will range from $87,000 to $94,000. Record prize money and great racing this spring at Churchill Downs.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with 2 locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Dor. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with 5-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded 3 grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a grade one win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Say?
Mid-Atlantic yearling purchase.
Exactly.
Welcome back to Equine Forum. We are live and in color from Penn National, Hollywood Casino at Penn National. Brittany Attris. And the Big A, wrapping up a really fun morning. Don't forget, you can catch us tonight at 6 p.m. Sirius XM Fight Nation 156, 6 to 8 p.m., Susquehanna, Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, Penn Mile, Penn Oaks, and the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile, which they'll run for the sixth time. What a fun morning, huh, Britt?
It really is.
Horses still training?
I'm still so excited to be here. This is a nice place.
Yeah, Brittany's looking at real estate as we speak.
Got to be cheaper than Long Island.
Everything's cheaper than
New York.
Maybe
I could have a farm for the cost of a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks to all our guests, Jeremiah Englehart, Karen McLaughlin, Dr. Jerry Pack, Todd Mostaller, and my man Eric Johnston. Great hospitality here at Hollywood Casino. At Penn National Racecourse, we will be back just about 8 hours from now for the biggest night of the year here at Penn National. Lots of great action today. Weekend Stakes Preview podcast available over at horseracingradio.net. For Brittany Attris, I'm the Big A. Anthony Stabile. Talk to you at 6 tonight, HRRN Nation.